If I were to ask you, fundamentally, what makes you a Muslim? At the base of it all, what makes you a Muslim? You'd probably say, I pray, I fast, I calculate my zakah, I'm saving money for hajj, you know, listing these pillars of our deen. And after describing many different obligations and even mentioning prohibitions, I don't do this, this is haram, I don't touch that, things that are popular in society, you'd list all these things, the do's and don'ts. And after mentioning all that, there's a very good chance that you'd say, oh, and by the way, if I can have good character while doing all of this, that's a nice bonus. It's extra. It's the icing on the cake. It's the cherry on top. I should have good character while I do it. However, were you aware? Are you aware of the fact that when the Prophet ﷺ first received revelation, there weren't 5 daily prayers that were mandated. That only happened after Isra wal Mi'raj, during Isra wal Mi'raj. Same thing with the fasting of Ramadan, and same thing with calculating the exact amount for zakah and for the hajj and so forth. All of these obligations, and subhanAllah, so many prohibitions. Can't drink this and can't eat that and so forth. These things came down as ahkam later on. And so the question becomes, well, what was the foundation of Islam in the early days? What did it mean to be a Muslim right at the beginning when the Prophet ﷺ first received revelation? Well, let me not just give you my opinion, let's take a look at the words of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that when he first heard about Islam in this city of Mecca, he was so curious about it. What is this? There's a prophet, he's got a religion, so curious. And so he knew his brother Unais was going to go visit Mecca. And so when his brother went and came back, he said to him, so tell me about it. What did you learn? What did you meet this guy? What's the story? What's going on with this guy claiming to be a prophet? And it's mentioned in Sahih Muslim that his brother tells him, رَأَيْتُهُ يَأْمُرُ بِمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَكَلَامًا مَا هُوَ بِالشِّعْرِ. I saw him teaching people to have noble character, and his words were definitely not poetry. So this is the very early intro to Islam. He has these words, this Quran, that is clearly something special. Can't give you too many details, but it's remarkable, I know that much. But number one is this, he's teaching people to be decent. He's teaching people character. This is what Islam was founded upon. This is what the believers were learning and teaching right from the beginning. Even more so, Amr ibn Abasa as-Sulami, he describes his first encounter with the Prophet ﷺ early on in Mecca when he was hearing all these rumors of a person who's crazy, he's a magician, and I don't know about him, and people are very worried about him. You could tell by the conversation, this individual, when he meets the Prophet ﷺ, he's kind of apprehensive. He meets him and he says to him, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ مَا أَنْتَ. He asks him, what are you? And a Nabi. The Prophet ﷺ responds and says, I'm a prophet. This is all mentioned in Sahih Muslim as well. Another different hadith. So he just says, I'm a prophet. And a Nabi. فَقُلْتُ وَمَا نَبِي. What is a prophet? It's a simple, very basic question. You're a prophet? Well, what is a prophet? And he says to him, أَرْسَلَنِ اللَّهِ. Allah sent me. So then he says to him, وَبِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ أَرْسَلَكَ. Okay, what did he send you with? And then the Prophet says to him, أَرْسَلَنِي بِسِلَةِ الرَّحِمِ بِسِلَةِ الْأَرْحَامِ وَكَسْرِ الْأَوْثَانِ وَأَنْ يُوَحَّدَ اللَّهُ لَا يُشْرَكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And the Prophet says, what was I sent with? I was sent with bringing people together, joining bonds, whether it be family bonds, brothers and sisters, parents and children, whether it be cousins, tribes, whether it be humanity, because we're all connected through Adam alayhi salam. My mission is to bring people together and to break these idols and to make sure that everybody recognizes that Allah is one. This is the basic concept. The Prophet ﷺ comes as a messenger, the very beginning, the very first impression. Us, when we think, what is the basics of Islam? Well, pray and fast and charity and so forth. The original, right from the beginning, Islam was what? One God, be a good person. Good character. Be decent to each other. Be nice to each other. This is how Islam began. And of course, it's so appropriate. How can you build a deen, no matter how brilliant the philosophy is, no matter how genius the arguments are, no matter how beautiful the practices are, if I don't like your character, if you're just a wretched person to be around, I'm not interested in anything at all. It's not going to get off the ground. No one's going to listen. And this is why. Not only do we find this in multiple ahadith, But we find even the Quran itself, if I were to ask you all what is the first surah to be revealed, I'm sure everybody would confidently say, Iqra. First revelation, Surah Alaq, Surah Iqra, Surah 96. We're all aware. Did you know that the second surah to be revealed? Some say third, fourth, there's debate. But very, very early Mecca Quran is what? Surah Qalam. One of the, right after Iqra, one of the very first. Could be even the second surah. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Now I can't go through the whole surah, beautiful surah, incredible tafsir. But let's just take a look at the fact that this is very, very early Islam. First few verses teaching us what is this deen. And very from the right from the beginning we find what? Allah Ta'ala telling us, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are upon impeccable, the highest, most beautiful level of character. You have the best character. This is fundamental to who the Prophet ﷺ is. Right from the beginning of the deen, you have the best character. But it doesn't stop there. Now the question is, who should be the rightful leader? You have the Prophet ﷺ, the best leader. But then you have the leaders of Quraysh, who are in the position of leadership. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the very same surah, a few ayats down, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who has gone astray from His way, and He is most knowing of who is rightly guided. So Allah Ta'ala is putting this dichotomy. Let's take a look at these two groups. The Prophet ﷺ and the believers, we know who's rightly guided, versus the leaders of Quraysh, we know who's misguided. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on into detail describing their bad character. It's not their policies, it's specific to their character to show why they should not be in the leadership position. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ وَعْتُلٍ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٍ. Incredible ayat. The Prophet ﷺ was described as having the best of character and they're calling him crazy. SubhanAllah. And now Allah Ta'ala is saying, let's take a look at your life. And these ayat, these four ayat are remarkable because they take a look, one tafsir, one interpretation, is that they are going through the different strata of society. You know, there's people that are elite that you look up to. Then there's people on your level. Then there's people you look down on that are below you. SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala knows that these Quraysh, these leaders, they pretend to look down on the Prophet ﷺ. Deep in their hearts, they know they look up to him. He's the man. Everybody knows. Best character, best, most convincing arguments. They look up to him. They don't want to act that way, but they know they look up to him. So how do they treat him? They make him all sorts of promises. Big promises that are empty, just like any typical rotten politician. So Allah says, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. Don't believe these people that make all these oaths, and all of those oaths have no follow-through, no follow-up. Why? Because these are wretched politicians. They look up to you, so they're going to promise you the world. They're not going to deliver on nothing. وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. How do they treat their peers? They all act like they're a united front, but they're all in competition with each other. So they walk with each other, they talk with each other, they smile with each other, and then what are they doing? Inserting poison, backbiting. Hamaza, you know, hams means to prick something, to harm. And namim means to what? As-sawt al-khafi, a light noise. Min harakat shay'in aw wat'i qadamin. When something's moving but it's very quietly, or somebody's walking very quietly, that's namim. Namima is what? Spreading slander. So it's implying what? That they go around, they spend time with all of their peers, smiling, getting information, and then they go and backbite with everybody, and doing it in a way that is very smooth, very professional. So, to the Prophet ﷺ, lots of big oaths. To those they look up to, lots of big promises. No follow through. To their peers, lots of backbiting. Hammazin mashain bin amim. What about the lower class? Manna'i lil khair, mu'tadin, athim. Three different descriptions. I won't give any good to the lower class. Why? What's the point? They don't got no money. They're not going to get me any votes. They're not going to get me any power. مَنَّعِ لِلْخَيْرِ. Always refusing to even give a dollar. Not even the least bit generous. مَنَّعِ لِلْخَيْرِ. مُعْتَدٍ. They'll transgress all bounds. There's no limits. They'll treat them terribly. Why? What are they going to do? They can't fight back. This is the lower class. They can't stop me. They don't have any backup. They don't have any backup. They don't have a tribe to defend them. So I'll transgress all limits with these people. And athim, I will sin openly around them. Why? Because when the cameras are on and I'm a politician, I got to look good. But then when I go to the slums with the nobodies, I could do smoke this, I could drink that, I could be with prostitution, I could do whatever I want. Why? Because they're nobodies. Nobody's going to listen to them. Who's going to believe them? I could do whatever I want. I could theme, I could be sinful, openly, no problem. I could be who I want to be. So that's three different levels of society. Those they look up to, those they're even with, and then they're below. Then the fourth ayah is about what? How do they see themselves? عُتُلٍ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٍ. Utul means what? It means cruel. Deep in their heart, they know, I'm a wretched person. I have bad intent. I don't mean good for society. They have cruel intentions on the inside, self-loathing. They know they're wretched people. وَبَعْدَ ذَلِكَ And in addition to that, moreover, زَنِيم. زَنِيم means what? Illegitimate, pretender. That they are fakes, they're phonies. And actually, there's a lot of commentary on this word, زَنِيم. It also means to be an illegitimate child. There's a term for it in English, a bad word, starts with the letter B, somebody who doesn't know who their father is. What is the implication here? Sometimes when a person would be part of a tribe, but they didn't belong there. They were from a different, they didn't know who their father was. That person would be considered Zanim, an imposter, not really part of the family. What is the implication here? These leaders of Quraysh, what are they representing? They're supposed to be from the family of who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. I'm from his family. No, you guys are imposters. You guys are fakes. You don't actually belong in the position because you don't actually follow Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yeah, you're technically from his bloodline, but you're illegitimate children. You're illegitimate because you don't follow his deen and you don't have his character. And that's what's being highlighted in all these ayat. No good in terms of their character. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ We know that he had the greatest of character. And furthermore, we know that Ibrahim ﷺ had the most noble of character. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَأَوَّاهٌ حَلِيمٌ Indeed, Ibrahim ﷺ was compassionate. He was forbearing and patient. And their forefather, Ismail alayhi salam, Allah says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقُ الْوَعْدِ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ That mentioned Ismail in the book. Indeed, he was always true to his promise. These are people of great moral standing. These are people of high character. And now they're being told, we know how you are. In all stratas, you are nothing like the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ is different than all of you. Allah said he was of the highest moral character, and didn't go into detail what that character was. Why? Because it's the opposite of everything just mentioned. These people make all sorts of oaths and don't fulfill them. The Prophet ﷺ fulfills his oaths. These people spread rumors and gossip. They're two-faced and they're always backbiting. The Prophet ﷺ does none of this. These people are harsh to the weak. The Prophet ﷺ is giving to the weak. They cross boundaries because they know they can't fight back. The Prophet ﷺ is the opposite, respecting people's boundaries. And instead of when he's in certain groups, exposing his true hidden habits, desires. No, he doesn't have that because he has noble character. And finally, he isn't self-loathing internally. He doesn't suffer from imposter syndrome. He's not a fake, he's not a phony. He's sincere in what he's saying. So the Prophet ﷺ has the highest character and you're going to call this one crazy? Meanwhile, you people are like this? This surah is an incredible call out to the Quraysh early in Mecca. It's a truly remarkable surah. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because I want to highlight that our deen, right from the beginning, was about the oneness of God and then the foundation of good character. That's what the believers were known as, calling to decent character. And the reason I bring this up is because unfortunately, nowadays we see that the ummah, alhamdulillah, is big. We got lots of people, lots of land, lots of resources, lots of geniuses, lots of money. We got everything we need. But subhanAllah, we're not in a leadership position. Why? Well, the Quraysh weren't real leaders. They weren't good leaders, because they didn't have the foundation of character. And subhanAllah, we're not leading anything because we don't have good character. Something so basic and fundamental. Think about the stereotypes you hear about the Muslim world. Oh, I traveled to the Muslim world, and what did I see? Chaotic. People are acting wild. Chaotic driving. No one shows up on time. The word inshallah becomes a joke. You're using the name of Allah, lafzul jalala. But people say, oh yeah, inshallah, you're going to show up at what time? 6 o'clock? Yeah, inshallah. Yeah, we get it. It turns into a joke. A'udhu billah. People stay up so late, sleep all day. Even though the Prophet ﷺ says, after Isha, you should go to bed. And after Fajr, you should stay awake. بُورِكَ لِأُمَّتِي فِي بُكُورِهَا That my ummah is blessed in its early hours. You should try to maintain this. I know Ramadan is different, right? Obviously, you stay up later. That's an exception. But in general, you still find in the Muslim world, people are up till all hours, sleeping in during the day. Even bad habits. In the West, people smoke. But at least they smoke quickly. You know, you got the cigarette, you got the vaping. I'm not promoting it, but it's on the move. In the Muslim world, what do you have? Sit down, shisha, prepare it, take your time, hours go by, wasting. SubhanAllah, you couldn't smoke a little bit faster? I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying, look at the culture. At least one culture, same thing with coffee. One culture is what? Drive through the drive-in. Quick, Starbucks, you know, drive through, get it quickly, move on the way, get my caffeine, move. In the Muslim world, maqas, to chill, hang out, sit at the coffee house, smoking the shisha, drinking all night, all day, wasting your whole time. A'udhu billah, what is this? Even the bad habits are worse. You find that people say, oh, in the Middle East, they're so loud, completely not even paying attention to their surroundings, not paying attention to the people around them, so loud, so obnoxious. You find that there's so much tribalism, racism, nepotism, putting your own family members in top positions. You always need a middleman to get things done instead of things being done on time properly. There's bribery, there's so much corruption, just basic decency. We're not talking about deep aqidah issues and fiqh issues. We're talking about just be a good human. I remember one of the saddest things when I was living in the Muslim world. I just could not believe it, that people wouldn't queue up in a line. It's been like more than 10 years, I still think about it. It still haunts me. I just can't believe that when you all need to go to a certain area, okay, you show up and you get in a queue. And one person, next, next, next. I was taught this when I was in kindergarten. I still have memories of when we were in kindergarten. We wanted to drink from a water fountain. I said, okay, queue up. Okay, next, next, go into line. And then we trained at this. Now, if I go shopping, Kroger, Walmart, anything, you want to go self-checkout. Is anybody pushing each other? Of course not. That'd be insane. I want to check out my groceries. I'm going to push each other. No, just queue up. Nobody even talks. Nobody says a word. It's natural because we live in a civilized society. You queue up. And then sometimes you go to Muslim countries. Everybody's pushing and shoving. They don't queue up. And you think, how are we talking about all the days we need of Salah ad-Din? We need to have the ummah strong. We need so much power. We need to, you know, mashallah, make the ummah global leaders. Global leaders? You want to lead the whole world? Let's first start to learn how, when you want to get to a certain somebody at a desk or whatever, you get into a line, you go one at a time, that's decency. SubhanAllah. And I know we could point the finger at the Muslim world and say that they're so much worse than us, but we over here, we're the same thing. Unfortunately, the whole reason I'm talking about this is because our board members, our masjid president, has had to have conversations with the mayor discussing our terrible character. And I'm just really sick of these conversations. It's boring. There's much more interesting things to talk about. Instead of just parking. How we park badly. It's remarkable to me. If you have a driver's license, don't you know that there's spots to park in? Don't park, for example, in front of the neighbor's driveway so they can't leave? Is this really something that needs to be mentioned for years? Not weeks, months, years. We're still talking about this issue? Parking in front of a mailbox so that on Friday they can't get their mail? Because obviously the mailman doesn't get out, right? You know, he drives up and just reaches. If the car's in the way, he just drives around. Next week you'll get your mail. People are so angry at us. They despise us. They're creating petitions. And now the mayor has to say, how can we get you guys better? They gave us how many hundreds of parking spots in Launch Fishers? Take it. Majeni. Free. Yours. Enjoy. So much parking. 2-minute walk. We don't use it. We'd rather park in the around here. Drive it. We park on people's lawns, messing up their grass. Then we walk through their yards. Does anybody here enjoy hearing and seeing random people walking through their yard? I'm sure you'll be quite offended. You'll be like, hey man, get on the road, get out of here. This is my private property. You don't like it? Why are you doing it to others? Messing up their lawn? In the middle of the night, kids screaming, waking up their neighbors, disturbing their sleep. People don't know what's going on outside if something dangerous is happening, keeps checking, giving them this frustration and anxiety and cursing the day that a masjid was built close to their home? Is this who we want to be? Basic character. Let's stop looking at this as, oh, good character is the icing on the cake. It's the cherry on top. No. Character is the foundation of your deen. If you don't have character, you are missing the whole point. I've addressed how many times the wasting of food. I wanted to address it. I saw the kids wasting so much food this Ramadan. But now I can't even address it. Why? Because the kids don't show up to the masjid anymore. Why? Because they were fighting so much that the gym is closed down. They can't even go to the gym anymore. Why? Because the kids were beating each other up so badly. Not accidentally bumping into each other during sports. I'm talking about like hurting each other, purposefully, so that there's no more gym. Multi-million dollar gym, not being used by the kids. So I can't even address the other problem of them wasting food. SubhanAllah. This is a real issue. Pay attention to your children. Set a good example. Don't park like you don't care about anybody else. Like you're, I don't know, like you own the place. Park decently, treat your neighbors well. People should feel like it's a blessing to live close to the masjid. If you get a home close to the masjid, you should have tears coming down your eyes, thanking Allah Ta'ala that you live close to the most blessed place. Instead, these people are cursing and saying, I can't believe I live close to a masjid. We should be showering them with gifts. You know, you could take a piece of our zakah money. Inshallah, hopefully as a community, maybe we do this. We look into taking a chunk of our zakah money, ta'lif al-qulub, to warm the hearts and to make the hearts lean towards them. Maybe we need to start putting some of that money towards just gifts towards the neighbors, apologizing for our bad behavior. Inshallah, hopefully they'll like us. This is completely, completely unacceptable. I'll mention one final hadith in this regard. Again, this is not extra or icing on the cake. This is fundamental. The Prophet ﷺ says, Sahih Bukhari, authentic hadith, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, three times. I swear to God, he doesn't believe. I swear to God, he has no faith. He's not a believer. Who, Ya Rasulullah? Three times. وَمَنْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَايِقَهُ. The one who, his neighbor is not safe of his harm. The one who, his neighbor doesn't feel safe from his harm. Do you think when we're messing up their lawn and making noise in the middle of the night and the guy feels nervous, he says, maybe I should get out of here? So he tries to get into his car, but his car is blocked because our car is blocking his driveway. Do you think somebody like that feels good? Is feeling safe? Of course not. So this is not a question of, oh, it's nice. No, this is like you don't have faith unless you focus on your character. Inshallah, continue the second khutbah. Wassalamu alayhi wa sallam wa sahbihi wa sallam sallam kathira. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. It's not just the people outside, but it's even ourselves. Obviously, bad character, you're going to hurt each other. How so? By excessive argumentation about things we don't understand, things that we don't know. People having these lengthy, hot debates about fiqh issues. Meanwhile, they wouldn't even know how to open up a fiqh book. They wouldn't know what fiqh books to check. They wouldn't know what to read or how to interpret it. And yet they have strong opinions about small issues and they get heated and they waste a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of pain and a lot of frustration, a lot of division. Why? Because they have these strong opinions. Meanwhile, we're not focusing on the basics. There's a nice quote that says, you don't need to attend every argument you're invited to. I thought that was pretty funny. You don't need to attend every argument you're invited to. Not everything is worth fighting about. Someone wants to argue with you, that's okay. Qalu salama, that's okay, I'm good. I got my fill. The amount of backbiting, the amount of gossip, it is remarkable to me. There's been a few instances where some information gets out and I find out the whole community's talking about something. Does everybody need an opinion about somebody's perfect, private, personal matters? It's embarrassing. Do we not have anything going on in our own lives that we need to talk so much about everybody else? Let's put up a scenario. Imagine in your family. Is it possible? You can imagine a family. They have a child. This child is suffering from some sort of a problem. And they say, you know, we really want to get this kid some help. Maybe this kid needs therapy. We need to take him to a specialist. And then they say to themselves, you know what? If he or she starts going to therapy, we know that this community won't stop talking. Oh, really? They need that kind of help? What's the problem? They're like this? I think it's like that. I think this. Well, I think that. Well, I blame this person. Well, I blame that person. And so at the end of the day, the parents say, you know what? Let's hold off. Maybe the kid will get over it himself. Maybe he'll fix himself. Maybe it's just a phase. Maybe he'll be okay. SubhanAllah, they knew he needed help, but they didn't. Why? Out of fear of the gossip of the community. So we're not just harming the people outside. We're harming ourselves. Why? By what? Bad character. Just basics of bad character. So we should remember a few simple ahadith. The Prophet says, أَثْقَلُ شَيْءٍ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. That character is going to be the heaviest thing for the believer. Good character is going to be the heaviest thing on Judgment Day for the believer. The heaviest thing for you is having good character. Why? Well, because your character, that's what you're behaving with all day. You pray how much of your day? Small percentage. How much are you fasting? Small percentage. If you look at your whole life timeline, but in terms of your character, that's every moment you're awake. That's your character. So it's going to be the heaviest thing. Furthermore, it's foundational. Oh, I know so much about Islam and I practice this and I can tell you that. Yeah, but I don't like you as a person. You've ruined the whole thing. Whether it be your friends, whether it be your family, whether it be your coworkers, classmates, neighbors. If they don't like your character, all that is going to destroy it. The Prophet says, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لَيُدْرِكُ بِحُسْنِ خُلُقِهِ دَرَجَةَ الصَّائِمِ الْقَائِمِ. That by his good character, the believer can reach the level of the one who fasts during the day and prays all night. SubhanAllah. Why? Because fasting all day and praying all night gets you so much ajr. But you know what also gets you ajr? Giving good advice, uplifting people, giving people confidence, connecting people, making people feel good, showing them good character that makes them attracted to the deen, makes them attracted to the masjid, makes them attracted to Islam, they embrace Islam, gives them the confidence to get a better job and get better friends and become a better person. Good character, subhanAllah, can change people's lives. So never belittle it. It can get you the status, fasting all day, praying all night, subhanAllah. So we should remember the beautiful dua in which the Prophet says, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wa nifaqi wa su'il akhlaq. O Allah, we take refuge in you from being divided, from being hypocritical, and from bad character. Why? Because when you have hypocrisy on the inside, it manifests in bad character on the outside and ultimately leads to division in the ummah. So we make the dua, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wa nifaqi wa su'il akhlaq. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wa nifaqi wa su'il akhlaq. Ya Allah, make us true believers, and make us true believers that prove our faith by how well and how beautifully we treat our neighbors. Ya Allah, help us to avoid useless argumentation and gossip. Ya Allah, teach us to respect the space around us in terms of how we park, in terms of where we walk, in terms of how loud we are, in terms of our volume and who we are disturbing. Ya Allah, make us mind our own business. Ya Allah, keep us away from gossip and slander and backbiting. Ya Rab, bless us with good character so we can build the foundation of the ummah. Ya Allah, let our good character be our foundation to this deen, our defining feature, our defining characteristic as Muslims. Amin ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la ya'izzu man adayt. Tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt, rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar, wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, taslima kathira, wa aqim as-salat.